We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
A major recall of spray sunscreens by Johnson & Johnson. Plus, lumber prices are dropping, but home prices may not. And President Biden is set to meet with German Chancellor Angela Merkel in D.C.
The tone is going back to this traditional U.S.-German relation of friendship, of partnership.
It's Thursday, July 15th. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. In Germany, heavy flooding has left at least 8 dead, according to the Associated Press. Dozens are missing. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. Johnson & Johnson is recalling most of its Neutrogena and Aveeno spray sunscreens from U.S. stores after detecting benzene, a potentially cancer-causing chemical, in some samples. J&J said consumers should stop using and discard the affected products. The company said it doesn't use benzene in the manufacturing of the spray sunscreens and is investigating the cause of the contamination. It didn't say what the exact levels of benzene were, only that they were low and not expected to cause health issues. China reported a slowing in its still resilient economic recovery from the depths of the pandemic, in line with analysts' expectations. The country's gross domestic product expanded almost 8% in the second quarter from a year earlier, a sharp deceleration from a more than 18% jump in the previous quarter. China also released forecast-beating data on industrial and consumer activity, which is likely to reduce speculation that the government will intervene more forcefully to boost growth. Facebook has said it will pay more than $1 billion to content creators on its social networks through 2022, in a pledge similar to those made by TikTok, YouTube, and Snapchat. Facebook said creators can receive payments for hitting certain milestones when using its products, adding it plans to provide seed funding to help them cover content production costs. The social media giant said the programs will start on an invitation-only basis. It didn't provide details such as timing or qualifications needed to participate. Private equity giant Blackstone has agreed to a deal with insurer AIG to manage some of its life insurance and retirement assets. It's a big step by Blackstone toward becoming a major player in the insurance industry. The deal will see Blackstone manage nearly $100 billion over the next 6 years, according to the companies. Blackstone would also pay $2.2 billion for an almost 10% stake in AIG's life insurance and retirement services unit. U.S. cybersecurity company Norton LifeLock is in talks to buy European rival Avast. It's a deal that would expand Norton's focus on consumer software. Avast said the two companies were in advanced discussions about a cash-and-stock deal. We're reporting the deal could value Avast at more than $8 billion. If talks don't fall apart, a deal could be reached this month, according to people familiar with the matter. The world's largest contract chip maker, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, or TSMC, said profit rose 11% in the latest quarter from a year earlier. This came as the pandemic forced people to work from home, fueling demand for chips used in smartphones and other devices. Elsewhere on the earnings front, Morgan Stanley and United Health are set to report results before the bell today. Investors will also be watching weekly U.S. jobless numbers due out this morning. The cost of lumber has come down significantly recently after a sharp spike that was driven by supply issues as well as rising demand as people worked on their homes during the pandemic. Since May, futures prices for the commodity have dropped by about two-thirds. To discuss how this may affect the housing market, we're joined by markets reporter David Hodari in London. Hi, David.
Hi, Keith.
So, David, what sort of impact could this have on the home building industry?
Well, if you're building your own home, then you might expect to get more for your money at places like Home Depot, which has recently reduced its lumber prices. The same is also true for developers working on big projects like apartment buildings and other multifamily projects. They usually buy all the wood for their projects at once and had to pause building when prices became too high.
And will home buyers see any benefit from cheaper lumber?
That's less clear. In the short term, people buying homes probably shouldn't expect discounts. Rather than dropping prices for home buyers, the companies that build homes expect to rake in bigger profits, which is common in periods when commodities prices are rising. Lumber prices may be coming down, but there are plenty of commodities like metals and oil that aren't.
David Hadari in London, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Keith.
Coming up, as German Chancellor Angela Merkel pays a farewell visit to President Biden, we look at the state of relations between the two allies.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel will be visiting the White House today to meet with President Biden. It marks her farewell trip to Washington after 16 years in office. Merkel isn't running again in the September election. The two countries hope to patch things up after a period of strained relations, but they remain far apart on some key issues. Our reporter Boyan Panchevsky in Berlin discussed the planned meeting with our Charlie Turner.
Boyan, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Merkel and Biden have met previously. They're familiar with each other. What is the tone of the relationship going into this meeting?
Yeah, they go way back. Essentially, this is the fourth U.S. president she's dealing with. The first was George W. Bush. And obviously, Biden was vice president in the Obama administration. So they go back away and they know each other. The relationship between the two, I'm told, is cordial. And I think the relationship between the two administrations is cordial again. There was a turbulent period during the Trump administration. President Trump always liked to single out Germany for his criticism of Europe. So it's a world of difference. Essentially, the tone is going back to this traditional U.S.-German relation of friendship, of partnership. The two countries have been the closest of allies ever since the Second World War.
What's at stake for both Germany and the U.S.? What do Biden and Merkel hope to achieve at this meeting and beyond?
Well, essentially, first they're bringing, obviously, the relationship back to normal, and they're establishing also symbolically this re-establishing, perhaps, reconciling this partnership after the interruption of during the Trump administration. And secondly, they have a number of issues where they need to find either sort of mutual understanding or take things forward. They will be discussing the relationship with Russia. They will be discussing the relationship with China. They will be discussing the cyber threats to both countries. They will be discussing also, importantly, the efforts to reestablish some sort of an arrangement with Iran. So there's a lot of things in common. And of course, on several key issues, they are quite far apart in terms of strategic interests.
So talk about the major sticking points. On what issues do the two sides differ?
I think perhaps from the U.S. perspective, the biggest and the most profound issue of difference is the relationship to China. You see, Germany is a Europe's largest economy, which is entirely reliant on exports, and a large chunk of those exports go to China. So Germany wants to have a close, seamless, and productive relationship with Beijing because it's dependent on those exports for a lot of its growth. That's obviously not the case with the United States. The United States sees China increasingly as a systemic rival that needs to be contained. The other kind of sticking point, and this is a long-standing sticking point, a flashpoint even in the relationship, is the relationship to Russia, and in particular the Russian exports of energy to Europe and Germany. Germany and Russia will complete a vast submarine pipeline for natural gas called Nord Stream 2. And this pipeline is due to be completed, I think, in August. And it will double the amount of Russian gas exports to Germany directly. Ever since the Obama administration, the United States have tried to convince Germany to stop that project, not to go forward with it. During the Trump administration, there were sanctions imposed. And now with President Biden in power, the first thing he did is he kind of unilaterally lifted those sanctions. Now, the question is, will Germany make some concessions in return to that goodwill gesture by President Biden? They haven't done so far.
Boyan, what are the long-term prospects for this crucial alliance? Might the transatlantic drift continue, or could we see a bridging of differences?
I think with the current administration, there's a lot of goodwill on both sides, and some of the differences will be papered out. I mean, they're too fundamental to be bridged. For example, the relationship with China, that's a very profound difference in interests. But, I think the relationship will return to sort of when there is a disagreement, it will be a kind of a mutual disagreement between partners. And I think that's very important. I mean, in diplomacy, tone matters a lot. Perceptions matter a lot. So we're going back to that pre-Trump era where the relationship was cordial. But however, I mean, there's a lot of skepticism in Berlin, in Paris, everywhere in Europe about whether the Biden administration is a temporary kind of setup, whether Americans will not yet again elect a disruptive administration the next term or the term after that, and then they're back to square one where they were with the Trump administration. I think the experience of the relationship during the time of President Trump has left, I think, deep marks in the way politicians and officials here perceive the United States. So I think, there will be a symbolic difference, there will be a cordial relationship, but we shall see whether, they'll manage to really work closely together on the substantial issues.
The Wall Street Journal's Boyan Penchevsky, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And finally, you're paying more for your food and you just may not know about it. Food makers, grocers, and restaurants are raising prices, cutting their own costs, and trying other strategies to offset higher expenses as the food industry faces the steepest inflation in a decade. The Journal's Annie Gasparo has more.
Some restaurants are actually shrinking their portion sizes, which is something that consumers are really sensitive to, and it can backfire. And that's been a difficult choice that restaurants have to make. Do they charge more? Do they just take a hit to their profit, or do they shrink those portion sizes? And it's been hard for them to get that past consumers. So in other situations, they're cutting back on the number of items they have on their menu. And that can also help offset inflation if they replace ingredients that are really expensive or just cut those items off the menu.
You can hear more from Annie on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's What's News for Thursday. We're back tonight with a new show. Feel free to leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.